The Tom Woods Show, episode 1080.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you've ever been interested in self-publishing a book or starting a podcast or just learning how to collect affiliate commissions while you're sitting on the beach, I have lovingly crafted for you a free step-by-step ebook on how to monetize your time online based on my own experience. Check it out at pathstoincome.com. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Very glad to welcome Mark Ripito back to the show. Mark is a very well-known strength training coach. He is the author of numerous books, including the huge-selling Starting Strength Basic Barbell Training. We're going to talk about the general subject of state licensing of various professions, but particularly in this case, of course, for fitness coaches and personal trainers. Mark, welcome back.
Tom, thank you for having me. It's always good to be on your show, and I enjoy your perspective on everything, and I'm just proud to be here.
Well, I appreciate that, and I got some very interesting feedback last time. I had a ton of people saying, you got to have this guy back on. And then I had some people saying, what? How could he say X, Y, or Z? And I thought, that's the perfect guest. That's exactly the kind of guest I want to have. So today we're going to talk about something more expressly aimed at a libertarian audience, perhaps, and that has to do with state licensing. And we all know there's state licensing of all kinds of fields you might enter, but you have written in particular, of course, about how licensing affects you in what you do. And given that you have what today is considered by some people to be an unorthodox approach, that means you don't have the license. How does that all work?
Well, it's an interesting situation that has developed over time in the fitness exercise industry. I'm primarily a strength coach. I'm not a personal trainer, but this is a matter that affects everyone in the fitness industry because, as most licensure schemes, this one is entirely predicated on protectionism. There are a group of organizations who have formed a master organization called CREP, whose stated purpose is to get into place within state legislatures bills that are for the express purpose of requiring a license before a professional in that state can prescribe exercise. And this is nothing more than the same type of protectionism thing for that most states have for hairdressers and barbers and landscape architects and, you know, other things that are best left to the consumer's choice to regulate on their own. It assumes that we're all idiots and that it prima facie assumes we're all idiots and that we need the help of the state to make relatively low level decisions for ourselves about what we hire done, what we don't hire done, and who we hire to do it. But really it is, it's got nothing really to do with that. It is, in this particular instance, it is nothing more than a bald-faced attempt by the constituent organizations of CREP to require their organizational certifications like ACSM, NSCA, AFA, ACE, Cooper Clinic, et cetera, as a prerequisite for holding a license, thus guaranteeing those organizations certification business, and that's all it is. Now, the net effect of having this kind of thing in place is much more insidious because anytime a licensure scheme is enacted, there comes into existence a state-level board of, in this particular instance, it would be the State Board of Exercise Prescription Examiners, whose job will be to develop standards of practice that if you hold their license, you will be expected to follow. Now, so Tom, everyone knows that the exercise industry is rather fragmented at this point. There are as many approaches to individual fitness as there are individuals. And it's a stunningly diverse marketplace. I have my own opinions about that that are completely irrelevant to this discussion. But the consumer should be able to choose a trainer and should be able to choose the trainer who teaches the type of thing that the consumer wants to learn. If a state board of exercise prescription examiners develops a standards of practice, then you will have a way to program exercise. And I don't think anybody really wants that. If you sit down for just a minute and understand two important things. First off, there's not really a safety concern. You know, and most licensure programs fly under the auspices of public safety. You know, we have to keep bad haircuts from plaguing the marketplace. So we have to license all these barbers because it's dangerous to have a bad haircut, obviously. So exercise is pretty damn safe, really. And secondly, if there is a safety concern, how does a licensure process mitigate that concern? So these are kind of the two primary arguments against this.
Now, sometimes people will say, it's all well and good that you have criticisms against licensing, but they've got this fairy tale version of the story, which, as you say, doesn't really make sense, that it's well-meaning public servants looking out for the safety of the public. And as you say, when you look more closely at it, I mean, why do they have licensing in some states for florists? How dangerous is it to have a badly arranged flower bouquet? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, might disrupt a funeral.
Huh? Yeah, right, right. But I mean, in other words, it's not just the safety mongers. It's also, I think, some of the already established firms, or as in your case, people who do things a certain way and want to stop people who do things a different way by requiring licensing. And to get the license, you have to do it their way. Is there any way you can prove that your rivals, let's say, in the fitness world are in some way behind this push?
Well, they're all members of an organization whose stated objective is to initiate state licensure of the fitness industry in various state legislatures. They admit that. This organization called CREPS, C-R-E-P-S, has the stated purpose of introducing, and they have a template bill prepared by the organization that has been introduced in various state legislatures in a blatant attempt to require the constituent members certification before you can even sit for a state license, or you can even apply for a state license. It's a bald-faced attempt at restricting competition, just like all state licensure essentially is.
But what if somebody said, I mean, I just want to play devil's advocate for the sake of it. Okay. What if somebody said, isn't it possible that somebody could be, let's say, engaging in some kind of physical fitness training that, let's say, causes severe deterioration in the joints or something if done over a long period of time? And if we had some kind of licensing system in place, we could weed out people like that. Why isn't that a good argument?
Because there really is just no evidence that organized physical fitness activities, especially those under the direction of a coach or personal trainer, are dangerous. There's a famous study that was done about 20 years ago examining the injury rates in various types of physical activity. The most dangerous organized physical activity, sports, exercise, whatever you want to call it, on the face of the planet is the sport of soccer. The most dangerous. And if you don't believe this, go to any college soccer match, especially the women's soccer team, and look for the scars on the knees. Soccer is really hard on the ACL. And, if you've been playing soccer any length of time, you've had knee surgery. It's an extremely injury-prone sport. And CREPS does not propose to regulate the coaching of soccer at the state levels. All they are interested in is regulating those aspects of physical fitness under which their constituent organizations sell certifications to coaches. And that's it. It is naked, blatant protectionism. Now, as a really a side issue, all of these constituent organizations approach exercise differently than we in the barbell sports and barbell strength training do. For example, we squat below parallel because it works better. It makes you stronger. This is not even in discussion. There's a huge body of evidence that demonstrates this, and that full squats, as we call them, are not only not dangerous for the knees, but they build knee strength and produce a protective effect with respect to the knee ligaments that are often injured. Deadlifts are good for your back. Our organization, Starting Strength Coaches Association, has literally thousands of examples of people with chronic back pain whose backs are pain-free in 2 to 3 weeks on our program. Yet, the constituent members of CREPS maintain that above parallel squats are the way to go. Now, what do you suppose, since every one of the constituent members of CREPS advocate squatting above parallel, and they don't even have a mechanical analysis of the squat like we do. They just advocate they show you a picture of what the squat is supposed to look like. Who will compose the State Board of Exercise Prescription Examiners, do you suppose?
It's the same story in every single area.
Every single area. It's exactly the same thing. It is a naked bid to restrict competition in the marketplace. That is all it is. We can discuss the details of squats all day long. But what is going to happen is that any Board of State Exercise Prescription Examiners is going to be composed of members of the constituent organizations within CREP. There's going to be a couple of orthopedic surgeons on there that don't know anything about squats. There's going to be some nurses on there that don't know anything about squats. And there are going to be people who are actively interested in not having the competition from a more effective exercise method. And as a result, the standards of practice will reflect the conventional wisdom and the standards of practice within these member organizations of CREPS. And that's all there is to it, is nothing more than protectionism. It is a blatant attempt to interfere in the marketplace and in people's freedom to choose exactly how they want to do these. And it's disguised under the auspices of keeping the public safe. Well, the public's already safe. And what is the evidence that a license will make us safer?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's suppose you came to the conclusion that the path of least resistance was just to quit fighting it and just comply. What would be the bare minimum that you would need to do to satisfy these people and get the license? And if it's not that much, the devil's advocate question would be, why don't you just go ahead and do it and just forget about it?
What would I personally need to do?
Yes.
I'm not a member of any of these organizations that constitute CREPS. I do not hold a certification currently that is offered by one of the member organizations of CREPS. In fact, that's an interesting story. I was in the first group of strength coaches back in 1986 that was examined for the National Strength and Conditioning Association's certification, which they call the Certified Strength and Conditioning Specialist, the CSCS, which is for some bizarre reason regarded as the gold standard in strength and conditioning. I held that certification until 2009, and I am the first person to voluntarily drop that certification. I publicly dropped it, asked my name to be removed from their list of CSCSs, because the National Strength and Conditioning Association has made no one either strong or conditioned in a very long time. It is an organization that's primarily dominated by physical therapists who would like to be regarded as strength coaches. And they've done a very, very good job of going around to all of the sports teams and convincing everybody in positions to make a decision, all the athletic directors and everybody else, that the CSCS is required to even be looked at. They've gone to the military, and if you don't have a CSCS, you're not even considered for most of these jobs. Our organization teaches a certification program that typically CSCSs cannot pass because they're not sufficiently prepared for what we are doing. And as a result, I could get the CSCS if I just had a spare Saturday afternoon. The fact of the matter is I already had it. I had it for decades and dropped it because it is of insufficient rigor and quality. And as a result, I will go into insurance sales before I will lower myself to that standard.
Can you say something actually about, without any modesty at all, your qualifications in this field, just to show the absurdity of the situation?
Well, I can. We are the publishers of Starting Strength, a book in its third edition that has sold, probably 650,000 copies. It's the most widely regarded book on barbell strength training in the world, in the history of the, in the literature. We are the publishers of Practical Programming for Strength Training, also in its third edition, the only book that takes its approach to logically evaluating strength and conditioning programming in print. We've sold more copies of this book than anybody else has of their book. And that, you know, by itself is not necessarily proof of the quality. I mean, after all, you know, there have been lots and lots and lots of records sold by Bryan Adams, the Canadian guitarist. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they're any good. It's just the fact that we've sold a lot in this case, though, indicates that we have been perceived as useful by lots and lots of people, even though we don't have any of these certifications. Now, we do have our own coaching certification curriculum that is the only one in the industry that is predicated on our determining that you can actually coach the barbell exercises before we even let you see the test. Our pass rate is 15%. Last time we checked, pass rate at NSCA for the CSCS was about 65%. So we've got a little bit different approach. And I think that the market, in fact, has decided that we are producing a pretty good product. We have been translated into Korean, Chinese, German, a Japanese translation's in process, traditional Chinese translation is in process, Polish translation is in process. We're talking to the Italians right now. We've been translated into a lot of languages, and that is because they have contacted me about it, not that I've contacted them. We've not solicited translations. They come to us because the book companies know this book sells, and the reason it sells is because it's better than everybody else's book. I have personally taught thousands of people how to do these lifts. I've been in this business for 40 years, and I know what I'm talking about.
Well, my favorite part of an article you wrote on this, which I'm going to link to on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1080, is the very beginning where you say, "What is the difference between me and the kid at Gold's with a BA in some version of physical education and a piece of paper from the National Strength and Conditioning Association? Besides the 40 years experience, the books, the journal publications, the number of athletes and clients we've trained, the seminars I've conducted, and the organization of coaching professionals my company has educated, developed, and maintained, In the event the state of Texas passes a law requiring that exercise prescription be administered by a, quote, licensed professional, he can be licensed and I cannot. Now, that is a killer, killer opening to an article, if you ask me.
Well, I kind of liked it myself because of the stark nature of the dichotomy. We have here a situation where the members of CREPS, these constituent organizations who are in the business of selling you a certification. In fact, one of them, I can't remember which, actually says on their page, if you don't pass, you don't pay. That's, I don't know any more stark contrast than us and them. And as a result, what they are attempting to do is actually lower the standard. Far beyond what we will tolerate. We will not lower our standards. And as a result, in fact, here's an excellent example for you. Every time we conduct a seminar, we do one or two seminars every month. We cut the seminar off at 30 people so that our staff ratio remains 5-1. And at the start of every one of our seminars, I ask the following question. How many of you people that have signed up this weekend have the CSCS certification? And three or four of them will raise their hands. A lot of people that come to our seminars are not professionals. They're just there for their own training. But the ones that are, a lot of times will hold this credential. And I will ask them, how many times this week has someone contacted you specifically because you hold the CSCS credential, soliciting you to help them with their training? How many times this week has that happened? And no one raises their hands. No one has ever raised their hand to indicate that someone has actively sought out that credential. And then I will say, how many people in the room, and I'm mainly talking to my staff, have the Starting Strength Coach credential? And I've always got 7 or 8 in attendance. And I say, how many times this week have you guys been contacted, or how have you been contacted this week regarding help with a person's training on the basis of your holding the Starting Strength credential? And all of them hold their hands up. And I say, how many have been contacted by 2 people this week? And all of them hold their hands up. And I say, how many have been contacted by more than 2 people this week? And half of them will hold their hands up. Our credential is in demand and theirs is not. Now, I can't think of a better reason to need to shut us down, can you? And I really hate to be cynical like that, but I regard this as nothing more than protectionism, because to me, that's all it is. People that are members of gyms are intelligent enough to know who's getting strong and who's not, and who's helping them get strong and who's not. This is not complicated. One of the interesting things about this is that our system is quite simple. It is not complicated at all. Yet the industry standard for strength and conditioning favors the appearance of complexity because it, you know, it looks valuable. And, you know, there's something about the human mind is fascinated with complexity. All we do is add 5 pounds to your squat every time you train until that doesn't work anymore. And then we've got a more complicated problem to solve. But until then, we're just simply squatting and adding 5 pounds to the bar. We know how to teach the movements because we've analyzed them. We've developed over 40 years of doing this, a very quick and easy way to teach all of these barbell exercises to essentially everybody. And our method works better than theirs. Yet, I can't be licensed in the state of Texas because I will not waste a weekend getting one of these mail order certifications. And that's interesting, isn't it?
It is. It is. Now, I want to ask you to do something a little bit out of order. Normally, I would start the episode with you talking about what it is that you do and what makes you different and stuff like that. But this time we dove right into the subject matter because we've done another episode together and you went into a lot of detail. But all the same, I'd like you to make an elevator pitch for startingstrength.com, the website.
Our website, startingstrength.com, is the only one of its type in the fitness industry. We put up new content every day. Goes up at noon. We work very hard on our website. Our content is head and shoulders above anybody else's on the internet. We have articles and case studies and important reviews of literature and all kinds of things that nobody else even attempts to do. We have a very active, very high level forum wherein interesting subjects are always entertained across an extremely wide variety of human beings that post and ask each other questions. We just, it's quite literally the only one of its kind in the industry. And I've, if you haven't been there, I'd invite you to go visit startingstrength.com. Our website is unique, as is our product, which is strength training. We're not talking, we don't do abs. We don't do bodybuilding. We don't do paint on brown tan and men in their underwear showing each other their muscles. We don't do any of that. We're talking about strength training, and we are primarily focused on not an athlete market, but on everyday human beings, getting people strong, not football players strong. They're easy to get strong. We're talking about your mom getting her strong, you getting you strong, your kids getting them strong. And as a result, we are essentially the only organization who teaches the primary barbell exercises, the squat, the press, the deadlift, the bench press, and the power clean and power snatch, and some other key exercises to the entire human race. Everyone can use barbells. Everyone can use the methods that make barbell training the best way to get strong. And all it involves is the accumulation of an adaptation produced by very carefully controlled applications of stress. Stress recovery adaptation is a very straightforward, simple method by which we find where you are right now. And then next time you come in, we go up a little bit and we keep doing that until it quits working. And that'll be months and months from now. And in that 6 month time period, your squat has gone from 95 pounds to 315. Now that sounds amazing to people that don't deal with this every day, but that is not remarkable. The thing that's remarkable about it is that it makes so much difference to the person whose squat tripled, just in terms of their ability to interact with their environment. It's being stronger is always better. It's always better. It's the foundation of your physical existence, is your ability to apply force against an external resistance. And I hear the people in your audience right now yelling and screaming about cardio and all this other nonsense. Strength is the basis of long-term health. Strength produces cardio. Cardio by itself, and by that I mean long, slow distance, does not produce strength. Strength training produces both. Therefore, it is superior. And our approach to strength training is completely different than everybody else's. We use the basic barbell exercises. We go up a little bit every time, and we keep going up until you're stronger. And that's really all there is to it. Like I say, it's simple. Complexity is the thing that sells these days. Exercise variety. We don't use exercise variety. We do the same five or six exercises your entire training career with minor variations. And that's all, because that's all that's necessary. And because doing anything else doesn't work as well.
Yeah, I can think of so many areas of life where that also holds, that people are trying to complicate things.
Absolutely, Tom. I could not agree more.
And yeah.
The interesting thing about barbell training is not that it just makes your body strong, but this is an extremely important lesson that a lot of people have not learned, is that you get out of an activity exactly what you put into that activity. And there is no more stark example of that than barbell training. If you choose not to do the work, then you do not obtain the benefits. And this carries over into many, many other areas of everyone's existence. The systematic approach to improvement is what this teaches you. It really would be neat if they teach this in boot camp, wouldn't it? I think you'd have a lot better military if you, in fact, that's one of my pet peeves, but this is a real important lesson for a 19-year-old kid to learn, but it's also an important lesson for a 55-year-old real estate guy to learn too. You can take control of your physical existence. You don't have to trust the doctor to help you. You can help yourself. You help it with your act, not with medications. And that's terribly important. Terribly. Can't stress it enough. We discuss this kind of thing. There are articles about this all over the website, startingstrength.com. And if you guys listening today have not been there, I'd invite you to go to the website and just look around. There's an extensive collection of articles and videos and instruction and guest articles and a lot of stuff that is of interest to all humans.
Oh, the resources there are unbelievable. So definitely, everybody, check out startingstrength.com. Of course, I'll also link to that at tomwoods.com/1080, where I'll have a few pieces on this general subject of licensing, one of them written by Mark himself. Well, Mark, thanks so much again for your time, and I hope we get a whole bunch more people checking out what you're doing.
Tom, I appreciate the opportunity, and let's do it again, please.
All right, that's going to do it for us. If you like the show, remember, you can become a supporting listener over at supportinglisteners.com and not only help out the show, but also get more goodies than you can possibly imagine, including membership in my secret group where we have such a great community, such great discussions. Check that out at supportinglisteners.com, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.